It's been 28 years since the Suns made a finals appearance. For the Bucks, 47 years, and their franchise player returns tonight.
Heaven now on earth, half a million on the watch. Three bands on the sweater just to let it watch.
Wow, fires up a three. It's good! And the foul! Chris Paul has taken control of game one.
You can send it Bitcoin down and dribble little stock.
Paul on the drive. Chris Paul's first finals game has been a brilliant performance.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen Jacoby. Tell the people what it is we do.
We give the people what they want.
Joining us later on in the show, O'Shea Jackson, better known as Ice Cube. We'll get his thoughts on the NBA Finals, the Lakers offseason, and much more. But Jalen, we start with tonight's game. It is game two between the Suns and the Bucks. The Bucks looking to even the series at 1-1. The Suns impressed in game one. What adjustments do the Bucks need to make to take game two?
Wow, that's an important question, David Jacoby. You're going straight for the jugular with that one. The Bucks must do a better job of getting points in the paint. Layups and dunks by Giannis. Post-ups and jump hooks by Lopez. Post moves by Bobby Portis. I want to tell you guys the secret. Saric is going to be out for the series. He has a knee injury. DeAndre Ayton has been fantastic this postseason. It's been a coming out party. But you know who their backup center is? Frank Kaminsky. Mm-hmm. You got to find a way to get DeAndre Ayton in foul trouble. You have to continue to attack him. You got to continue to make him work. And also, where's Jrue Holiday? You know how much I'm a fan of his game, and I know that's one of your favorite players. He's going to bring defense, and you pay attention to both ends of the floor. I don't. He's going to get assists. That's awesome. But you know what they're going to need? His points. The big three of Phoenix had 81 in game one. They're going to need Jrue Holiday to score the ball. And for anybody out there that's saying, oh, Giannis is back, that's going to affect his productivity. No, it's not. No, it's not at all. They could do actions together. He could do one-on-one actions on either side of the floor. He has a post game for his size. He just has to be aggressive. Those have to be the adjustments. Points in the paint for the Bucks and aggression by Jrue Holiday.
Jalen, you brought up a really good point that I think is going over a lot of people's heads. Dario Saric is no longer available. Now, Dario Saric is not a huge household name, but he is a contributor for this team, and he's not going to be available for the rest of the series, and that could impact them. And when you talk about getting Ayton in foul trouble, that's what I thought that Jokic would do. That's what I thought that Giannis Lopez would do. He, for a young player, does a really good job of not getting in foul trouble. But again, if they can get him off the floor, you're going to see a lot of Frank Kaminsky. And if you get him off the floor, you don't have that role man that he's really turned into in his professional career. And when we're talking about the pick and roll, that to me is one of the biggest adjustments. When you look at the numbers of how the Bucks have guarded the pick and roll, whether or not they have dropped or whether or not they have switched, it seems like the more they switch, the more they get cooked when you look at the numbers. And again, Chris Paul is playing with his food in this pick and roll. He kind of just gets whatever he wants to wherever he wants, specifically that elbow jump shot that he loved, his little pet shot. He's been hitting threes in game one, but you made a good point yesterday. You know I don't like to compliment you. You got to turn him into somebody that finishes at the rim. You got to turn Chris Paul into somebody who finishes at the rim because he'll stop at the elbow and he'll shoot that step back easily. Yes. But if you turn him into that, that's going to be effective. One of the stories of game one was how many times the Suns got to the line at home. Coach Bud talked about that. Let's listen to the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
It's a huge part of the game. You know, they have 25 points from the free throw line. You know, we're a team that prides ourselves in defending and being able to be good defensively without fouling. I can't remember the last time a team got 25 free throws in a game against the Bucks.
It was actually 26. They hit 25 free throws, only missed one at the very end of the game. Jalen, what do you think about Coach Bud's words?
I'm going to quote Uncle Chuck D. And by the way, Ice Cube is joining us. And do you realize the Bomb Squad and he produced Ice Cube's first album, America's Most Wanted? So what Coach Bud is describing, you see so many analysts like yourself, Jacoby, that are talking about how pick and roll coverage is being instituted, whether they're switching or whether they're dropping. Let me give you the B side of that. The B side of that is they do that to not send the team to the free throw line. That's the whole goal. See, most people are only paying attention to the ball handlers, either points from three or from mid-range. But you're underestimating the reason why they're playing that coverage is to save the big from being out on the floor and getting taken advantage of so he can do what I said. Do damage in the paint offensively, number one. Number two, not send them to the free throw line. That's why he's speaking out about it. And you alluded to something that's really important. You told me that Chris Paul was 36, right?
Yep.
Let me tell you what happens when you get old and you're playing basketball. Two things you don't want to do: drive and be athletic and finish at the hoop in traffic. And the other thing is fall on the floor. Those are two things you don't want to do. Trust me. And in all of these highlights, you're not seeing Chris Paul either have to drive to the hoop or fall on the floor. And Bobby Portis, let me teach you something. There's a term at the park, Jacoby, you're going to love this. It's called you reach, I teach. Mm-hmm. Who taught you that you was going to be at the three-point line and you was going to rip CP3?
Slapping the floor. Right, slapping the floor. Like up in his pocket. Let 30 me be feet from the basket.
Let me give y'all some inside basketball, okay? Bobby Portis will never rip Chris Paul. Don't be out there reaching, dog. He reached like three or four times. Play solid. Get in his hip pocket and force him, usher him to the basket and make him a passer. If you haven't noticed, Chris Paul has scored the most points in back-to-back games in the history of his career. He smells it right now. He's like, wait a minute, I'm in the finals? Like, I'm in the finals? I'm shooting this thing. So if you're the Phoenix Suns, that's exactly what you have to do. Keep Chris Paul aggressive. But if you're the Bucks, you gotta make him do something different in game two.
Mm-hmm. And as always, we're going to talk about the big three for each team. But if the Bucks can get a couple key threes from Bryn Forbes, get a Connaughton three, he showed up a couple times, you know, maybe get a couple bucks from Bobby Portis. They need those others to contribute as well if they're going to take game two. But Jalen, during game one, I noticed something that was the most important thing that happened during the broadcast. And it was these words from your former teammate, Mark Jackson.
My guy at lunch today said if he had to live it all over again, guess what he would be? A rapper. Jeff Van Gundy started spitting a freestyle at lunch with me. I don't even want to know.
No, you don't.
Why is no one covering this? Why is no one covering the fact that Jeff Van Gundy was freestyling at lunch? I want to get these Jeff Van Gundy bars. Jalen, you're in Phoenix. Can you hear? Can you talk to him about this? Can we get him on wax spitting the hot fire from Jeff Van Gundy?
David Jacoby, when the pandemic started and people needed to work from their homes via Zoom, everybody started to make sure they paid attention to their backgrounds. Look over your shoulder. I see Mike Tyson. I see Larry Bird. Oh, look over my shoulder. I see a Jada Kiss bus. I see the Ali Summit. We've been 10 toes down for the culture. So in other words, that's why we're covering it. And of course, Mark Jackson, who was raised in Queens and loved Run DMC growing up, and Jeff Van Gundy, who coached in Houston, who coached in New York, has bars.
Bars.
I like the fact that he's reinventing himself as an announcer. I played against him as a coach. Remember that. I played against Jeff Van Gundy as a coach. And you know what he was? One word, unhappy. He was just unhappy. And now all of a sudden in the media, he's reinvented himself. He has great
freestyles at lunch.
I love those guys so much. And you know what I like about those guys? Unlike most dynamic duels that you and I represent in this game, most dynamic duels in this game, We're put together by the label. You know what I'm saying? We're put together by the network. You'll see Jalen and Jacoby front row at the Nets game. You see us champagneing and campaigning together. And as a matter of fact, I ain't going to even start telling y'all where we met. That we'll do that on the podcast.
Jalen, what are you doing? It's time to show me some Shohei. This is the most exciting thing that has happened in baseball for decades. Shohei Ohtani hit another home run. He hit 32 home runs before the All-Star break. Oh, and he's also one of the best pitchers in the game. Jalen Rose, he will be the number one seed in the home run derby in Coors Field where the ball flies. What sort of a show do you expect Shohei to put on?
Heat up, weed up, bring it back. Come rewind. So as the world starts to recognize the greatness that is Shohei, we didn't just invent that graphic today. We've had it the entire season. Because let me tell you something about Jalen and Jacoby and our staff. We pay attention to all-time greatness. And we saw a guy that's doing things that only Babe Ruth has done in baseball. He's hitting home runs. He's striking out people. And he's an immaculate left-handed swing. You know, as a lefty, I appreciate that no wasted motion type of effortlessly power swing. Like, if you notice, Jacoby, he's a guy, unlike Mark McGwire, unlike Sammy Sosa, right? He's not necessarily looked at as doing it because he's so powerful or because he's so bulky. He has the most home runs already in the season by a Japanese-born player. I can't wait till the NBA Finals end. I'm going to go on a Shohei tour. I'm going to get a bus.
Follow him like the Grateful Dead.
I'm going to follow him around. I promise y'all. I follow that greatness.
Joining us next on Jalen and Jacoby is O'Shea Jackson, better known as Ice Cube. You know he has thoughts on the Big Three, thoughts on the NBA Finals, and the Lakers offseason. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss that. It is the NBA Finals tonight on ABC. At 9 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget, Countdown comes on before that at 8:30. We'll see if the Bucks can even the series. Tune in tonight on ABC. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in Pier 17 in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Joining us right now, O'Shea Jackson, better known as Ice Cube. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Hey, man. Thank you, man. Salute.
We're excited to talk to you about the upcoming Big Three season, but right now I want to talk to you about the upcoming Game 2 in the NBA Finals. Who do you have winning tonight, and how do you feel about this series so far?
I got the Suns winning. The series is it's all right right now. You know, we just got to see. You got to keep watching. Chris Paul's acting a fool. I love that. You know, I can't front. I want to see him win a championship. So it's the Suns right now on mine.
Thank you for joining the show, Don Mega. And I'm not going to front for our audience. Ice Cube is one of the legends, the OGs that have taken me under their wings, have been one of my mentors in the game since day one. I'm forever grateful for you. And I know this has been a tough offseason for you, because the Lakers got bounced in the first round. So what the Lakers got to do to put themselves in position to get back to the NBA Finals?
You know, Jalen, it's hard to play with rings on your hand. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they got to just take them rings off and put them away and not try to play in those. You know, you can't win them all,
great point,
Jalen. You know what I'm saying? You can't win them all. We won... you know, won the championship last year. LeBron did what he said he was supposed to, what he said he was gonna do. And they won the ring. This year, injuries, they came back pretty quick, you know, from going all the way. You know, I think it was a 60-day layoff. And Space Jam 2 is coming out, man. You know, you want to do that Hollywood thing, man. Ain't got time to be in the finals.
Gotta promote the movie.
Gotta promote the movie, baby.
Now, Cube, do you think if the Lakers were healthy, they would have just ran through these playoffs?
Ran through through, I don't know about that, but I think they would have went deep, you know, probably would have went back to back. You know, we got bit by the injury bug. Probably should have kept, you know, Dwight or Rondo, one of those. But, you know, we'll be back. Don't worry about nothing, man. Don't worry about what's going on in Lakertown, man.
Cube, you're so diverse and such a legend. I'm just excited to talk to you about another sport, the NFL, the Raiders. They moved to Las Vegas. What are your expectations of your squad?
Are they going to have fun in Vegas? You know what I mean? It's a great town, great crowd. We've seen this, the sports town, how they act for the Golden Knights. And so, you know, they're going to come out for the Raiders the same way and have a ball. You know, they go together like peanut butter and jelly.
What you have done with the Big Three has been so impressive for such a young league, being so popular and so impactful. The Big Three returns this weekend. What can we expect to be different from last season to this season?
Well, you're going to know more names in the Big Three than you know in the NBA Finals, I tell you that. You know, these are guys you know.
That's a great point. Well said. You know, I like that.
We got household names, you know what I mean, from Swaggy P to Joe Johnson, Nate Robinson, you know. So we got it all. You know, it's going to be great. We on CBS Saturday morning, Wake Up With Us. Then we on Triller and Fight TV. Hey, man, you know, we're going to have a ball this season. Guys are going at it. And if you make it to the playoffs, it's in the Bahamas. So that's a great incentive. The winning teams make more than the losing teams this year. So they're going to be fighting for their life out there.
So, Q, I applaud the retired players who decide to join the Big Three because they want to be in shape, they want to be physical, and they're not lazy like me because I'm lazy. So what can fans expect when they show up to a Big Three event?
Well, what you won't see is a retired player. You'll see a player that's good to go, ready to go. You know what I mean? These are players, they play all over the world. The NBA ain't got it on lock. You know what I mean? These dudes are athletes at the highest level, playing three-on-three at the highest level. So what you're going to see is dudes battling. You know how it go when dudes play three-on-three. Nowhere to hide. You can't be a specialist. You can't just have one skill set. You got to have it all or you're going to get exposed in the Big Three. And that's just it. And the president told you, if you ain't watching the Big Three, you ain't black. So check out the Big Three.
We're excited for the Big Three. We're also excited for an upcoming album from Mount Westmore. We've had every member of Mount Westmore on the show. What can you tell us about this project?
It's epic. You know, when you get four legendary artists together working on a project, you know, the project is what it's supposed to be. You know, we're setting it up right. We got so many opportunities coming at us. We just got to make sure we set everything up right. You know, we don't want to rush to perfection. So we just going to drop it on y'all. It's coming. It's coming. You know, we getting cocked and loaded.
Well, as always, we appreciate you joining the show. And as one of the immortals that sit on the wall as Doughboy every day, you know we're forever grateful for your influence. Shout to my brother Kibo. Shout to brother Ron. I'll see y'all at the Big Three. Thank you for joining us, Don Mega.
Yeah, man. Much love and respect.
We'll be back with much more right after this on Jalen and Jacoby.
I'm still here. I'm fighting. I'm not losing. But I gotta amend that. When you die, that does not mean that you lose to cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live.
You can honor Stuart Scott by supporting his cancer research fund at v.org/Stuart. And tune into the ESPYs for incredible stories of perseverance and inspiration. Saturday on ABC.
I gotta say this, dog. I didn't know y'all was about to show Stuart Scott. the OG, the legend. And I'm going to tell everybody something as I pay homage to my brother. His favorite show, Jalen and Jacoby. We used to always meet at the NBA Finals, and we used to talk about how important his voice in this show was to our culture. We talked about this background and how it was going to change the game. So I love and miss you, Stu. Rest in peace.
Well put, Mr. Rose. Jalen, we have a Stanley Cup champion. Last night, the Lightning, at home, as the mayor wanted, beat the Canadiens to take the Stanley Cup home. Tampa Bay.
How about Tampa, the city of champions? You got the Bucks, now you got the Lightning. You know what this video inspiring me to want to do this offseason? I need to learn to skate. You know that? I need to learn to skate. You know what I'm saying? Why not? Why not?
Here's one thing I know about you. You hate to fall, so I know you're not going to learn how to skate, because part of learning how to skate is falling. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about game two. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing exclusive podcast content with our guests. Today we're joined with Ice Cube. Cube, the TV portion of the show we do because the executives watch, right? The executives don't listen to the podcast. Okay?
We're on ESPN now. Yeah, we came up.
So, executives don't, so we can say whatever we want on this podcast. And one of the things I want to discuss with you is a little bit more in depth about this Mount Westmore project, because the four of you guys coming together, to me, it's like, this is like forming like Voltron. You just don't see this type of thing happen in today's era of hip hop. What was the genesis of this? What were the conversations that sort of got this ball rolling and had you guys come together?
You can blame it on E-40. I call him the octopus.
40 water.
Oh man, he's the octopus. You know, he got his hands in everything. And he just came, you know, we've been friends so long. We tour together all the time. You know, every time there's a, you know, West Coast show, you know, all these different kind of blends of festival, we see each other. We doing shows together all the time. So it was like, he came to me one day and was like, man, let's do an album together. We should link up and do an album. Me, you, Short, and Snoop. And I'm like, thought about it for about 2 seconds and was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it, because you always got to evolve in this game. You always got to do, you know, you can't just do the expected. You got to do the unexpected. And so doing this project was what we all need. You know, we all need that unexpected, getting together like the Super Friends. And coming out with something great. Now, what's cool and what we know is the music can back it up. That's what's great. That's what makes us say, hold on. Let's not rush this. Make sure we got all our visuals together. Make sure everything is right. Because it's a new industry. It's not like it used to be.
Q, you call E-40 an octopus, and he is. But also, you're a guy that has been a trailblazer for not only artists, but just for people that look like us in multiple industries. So as you've continued to evolve and reinvent yourself, so has E-40 in selling wine and being Goon with the Spoon, and same with Too Shizzy, Too Short, and the same with Snoop and doing Corona commercials. Can you talk to the audience about what it's like to be an OG and the importance of continuing to reinvent yourself?
Well, I think, you know, when you are blessed to have opportunities, it's up to you to take advantage of them. And you may be the first one through the door. Sometimes the first one through the door gets shot. So you expect to take hits. You know what I'm saying? You expect to take shots. But just because you shot, that don't mean you're going down. So you just hope it's a little easier for the next one behind you coming through that door. And so I ain't doing nothing new. People trailblaze before. You know, you had Jim Brown, somebody who goes from football into acting. You know what I'm saying? You had people like Nat King Cole, who went from singing to TV to movies and blazed these trails for us. So it's really up to us to keep fanning the flames and show our talent when we got the opportunity. Now, it's up to us to harness ourselves too and make sure you're just not grabbing opportunities that you can't capitalize on. Or you can't make sure that you win, because, you know, losing is not an option. And it happens, but it ain't in our mind frame, in our mentality. So it's really just all about having the courage to trust yourself and not hold yourself back because you don't mentally think, oh, I ain't never done this before. Can I do it? Hey, man, you take one step forward, you'd be surprised how God would take two steps towards you.
That's really well put. Appreciate you dropping those bars here on Jalen and Jacoby.
Absolutely.
Now, you have a huge catalog of hit songs, but you also have a long catalog of hit movies. And, of course, you're always going to be associated with the Friday franchise. Our staff really wants to know this. They need us to ask you this. Will we be getting another Friday movie?
I hope so. You know, I'm in a battle with Warner Brothers and New Line Cinema, trying to get the franchise, total control of the franchise. They have the power to distribute the franchise. That's the deal we made. But they're not doing nothing with it, sitting on it. They've kind of let it rot in a way. Some of our biggest stars have passed away waiting on these guys. So I'm in a battle with Warner Brothers trying to get the movie back, trying to get control of it and do something with it. They'll still make their money. You know, it's not like, you know, they not going to make no money. They just want to have total control. And they just, to me, I say they're holding the culture hostage, holding our happiness hostage, because people love these movies, love these characters. All of the entertainers and actors in the movies, they get a huge bump from the movies with their fans to go out and do more movies, concerts, stand up, whatever. So, you know, it's just Warner Brothers is doing the culture a huge disservice by having that position, by not letting me control the movie totally. And I could do a whole lot with that IP. And IP is intellectual properties. And people, stop asking me, well, do Saturday. It don't work like that.
No.
The characters, as soon as I say Craig, Day-Day, as soon as I say the word Smokey or what, it goes back to the Friday IP, the Friday intellectual properties. So I can't just change the name of the movie and be all right. You know, we want everything under our control so we can actually do something with it.
Well, here's what I know. When Ice Cube says something, it becomes power. I saw Dave Chappelle do this exact same thing when Netflix were going to put out the Chappelle Show without his endorsement. And all of a sudden, we rallied behind that. So we need to also rally behind this. So start y'all petitions. We need another Friday. Cube need control of the IP. Like he said, that's extremely important for our culture. And I also appreciate the fact that you started the Big Three. You gave former NBA players an opportunity to continue to showcase their talents. So tell us what we can expect from this year's Big Three.
Guys going at it, you know, guys trying to make it to the Bahamas this year. You know, if you make it to the playoffs, you're in the Bahamas, baby. So if guys ain't fighting for that, they wives are making them fight for it. So, you know, it's a paid vacation. So, you know, it's really all about.
That's awesome.
It's all about having another sport for us to enjoy. Hard-nosed basketball. Having guys go at it 3-on-3 and professional guys. You know, this is not like the guys at the YMCA or at the park. These are guys who've played their whole life. So, it, you know, it's all kind of incentives going on. You know, the winning team makes more than the losing team this year. So it's it's a battle. Trust me. Look at Jalen. He know.
I know. I already told him before you came on the show. One of my favorite characters in my life is off-season Jalen. I'm going to see Shohei Ohtani. I'm going to see the big three. I'm going to do all of that. And it is great basketball. I want to ask you a follow-up question. If you had to say your top three MVP candidates preseason as we start the big three, who do you feel like that might be?
You got to say Joe Johnson because he won it in 2019. I think Will Bynum is out for blood. Will the Thrill. He out for blood this year. And, looking down the line, I always see that fire in Rashard Lewis' eyes, you know. He never loses the fire. So I think he coming after it too. So you got to watch those three players.
Congratulations on the start of the Big Three season this weekend. Thank you so much for joining us on Jalen Jacoby. You're welcome to come back anytime.
I love and appreciate you, OG.
So y'all too, man. Love what y'all do, man. Keep doing it. And I'm going to keep enjoying it. Keep watching it. Yay.
Thank you, family. Yes, indeed. Yay. All right.
I want to thank Ice Cube for coming through. It's always great to have him on the program, a reoccurring guest. Jalen, we're going to talk about some sports things, but there's something I need to talk about, very important. You know, on Apple, on your iPhone, people create avatars for themselves, right? And Reggie always had like a cartoon of himself. Well, I was on a text with Reggie yesterday, Reg the Ledge, and the Apple automatically was like, do you want to update the avatar for Reg, because Reg changed his. You know who he changed his into?
What?
Shiz cut with the waves and the beard. Reggie took the time out of his day to say, you know what? Every time I send a text, every time you see my face on your phone, you're going to see this cut.
You know what? By the way, that's a great idea. Maybe I need to adopt that. The same Reg the Ledge. When y'all see pictures of me 10 years ago, normal Caesar, gray hairline, just happy to have a haircut. But our guy challenged me, like, dog, you pushing 40 and you got all your hair and a hairline? You need some waves in that thing. He brought me the Jamaican oil. He brought me the do-rag and the brush. I had never worn a do-rag in my life. Never tried to get waves. And then all of a sudden, you could just Google it right now. I got 4 or 5 pictures in the barbershop with the 360 waves. And then I went to the submission hold. I had to go John Bones Jones on them. I had to go Half Moon Caesar.
Do you know what they should do? Caesar. You know the barbershop has all the examples of the different cuts? They should just have one that's all your different cuts. You know what I mean?
For 5 years, they need to walk into your shop and see all of these different cuts. But I'm going to just do it myself.
Big shout to Reg the Ledge. Jalen.
What up, though?
Your former quarterback, Matt Stafford. He's now in the Rams. Head coach of the Rams, Sean McVay, and his homeboy, Kyle Shanahan, were on the Flying Coaches podcast. And here is what Kyle Shanahan had to say about Matt Stafford potentially coming to the 49ers. The first voice you're going to hear is from McVay.
What did you think when you saw that we traded for Stafford?
You don't want to get me started, dude. That was frustrating. Yeah, he's better than I had realized. I mean, he was the man, and he's actually underrated to me. So I know how good of a guy he got. I know how good he is at play action. I know how smart he is. Not only does he just have a big arm, but he's got touch, and he knows where to go with the ball. So I was trying to get involved in it.
Jalen, he said he was frustrated. Ooh. Now, they just drafted Trey Lance. He was frustrated that they didn't get Stafford in San Francisco. But, Jalen, here's who I want to talk about, not Matt Stafford. Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo's value, Super Bowl quarterback, overthrew one pass to win the game. If he puts that pass where it needs to be, the whole narrative of his career is different. But it seems like every time someone talks about the quarterback position, including the head coach of the 49ers, they're not talking about Jimmy Garoppolo.
And also Jared Goff, for that matter. He also led the Rams to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
This is just new era coaches 101. And I appreciate the fact that they stepped out of the Bill Belichick grizzled, not smiling, not doing interviews, not having podcast mode to actually having a personality and talking about things within the game and giving us real spiel. And that's what I heard there. But I want to tell both of them something. I've watched more of Matt Stafford than they have. Mm-hmm. Let me repeat this. let me repeat this.
I've watched Matt Stafford.
See, let me tell y'all how this works, right? They coach other NFL teams. So you know who they've been watching primarily the last years they've been coaching? Their team and their quarterback. You know who I've been watching? My team and my quarterback. Okay? So let me tell y'all something about Matthew Stafford. He is great in play action, except we never really had a run game. We never really
Good
had
point.
A run game.
Good point.
Like you want some football analysis? Shout to my guy, John Skipper. We was about to do Get Up, right? And every show for national consumption, because football is king, the first thing they do is hire a former football player. Shout to all of my brothers, Michael Strahan, Nate Burleson,
can't name everybody.
Shannon Sharp.
Can't, don't even make this list
Marcellus Wiley, Acho. Shout to all my brothers, right? Every time they start a show, they do it with a football player. I'm the first person they've done it with a basketball player. I did it with Numbers Never Lie, and I did it with Get Up. And John Skipper brought me into an office and says, you're our best analyst at basketball and at football. That's why I'm going to put you up there with Greeny. And you know what? I got something for you right now. I just heard a head coach say Matthew Stafford is great at play action. Did I just hear that, right?
Yeah, okay. You did. I heard it.
Let me enlighten y'all to something about the Detroit Lions, a team that y'all only see the first quarter of on Thanksgiving Day. We went, I believe, two seasons without having a 100-yard rusher. Let me repeat that. Two seasons.
It's also like because y'all behind by 14 after the first quarter. You know what I mean?
And that's like, the other thing. Yeah, that's like, the other place I was going. So our play action is so great and we down 21. So here's what that is to me. That's just shade to Jared Goff. That's just shade to Jimmy Garoppolo. That both of those elite offensive minds feel like Matthew Stafford is better. He does have better arm talent than those guys. He does have a strong arm. And I'll tell you something, Rams fans. Y'all know what y'all got that we ain't have? Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what y'all got that we didn't have. So, yes, Matthew Stafford is going to be a great quarterback for the Rams.
And until his back gets hurt. Until he gets hurt. Matthew Stafford's going to be great until like week six and when his back breaks for like the 17th time. Like we know. I've seen this. Let me just tell a little story behind the scenes. I don't know why Reggie gave you the emotional music, but I like it. But like, so there's this bar in Manhattan that takes care of me. And I'll call him ahead of time and say, do you have a spot for me and Jalen?
But I appreciate your humility.
Yeah, exactly. There's more than one. But this one in particular, this is like my go-to, and they got all the screens, and they set up all the games, and the Lions always got like one game and one screen in the corner, you know what I mean? So I'll be watching all the games, just keeping track of my gambling, keeping track of my fantasy, and Jalen always just breaking his neck to watch that one screen, you know what I mean? So it's just like, he's just over here, and then he throws his arms up in the air all the time, getting all frustrated. It's like, Jay, you can watch any game you want. The Lions are down by 31 points. Like, why are you still emotionally invested in this? Like, we got this one's in overtime. It's like the Chiefs and the Ravens. You're not even paying attention to it. The Lions are down by 31.
Lamar, yeah. I'd rather watch Matthew Stafford. But here's the thing I will say, though. Matthew Stafford is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. He is better than Jared Goff. And as a matter of fact, he's going to miss a few games for y'all Rams. So make sure y'all have a nice backup quarterback. Quarterback. But I'll tell you this. He can make all of the throws, dog. And he can legitimately put them in the Super Bowl. If Jared Goff did it, I will say Matthew Stafford can as well. But I just love hearing both of those head coaches throw shade at two quarterbacks that helped lead them to the Super Bowl, and both of them lost.
Yeah, they sure did. They sure did. And the Rams got a Super Bowl, scored like 3 points. That game, I feel like it was like 13-3 or something. Like, right. Yeah, they got like billions of people around the world watching this. Yeah,
he mad about like, that.
We got billions of people around the world watching this. Like, y'all read, like, people in Europe are tuning in for the first time to check out American football, the Super Bowl. That's the product we gave them.
I need you to remind me of something.
I probably can't.
Jared Goff was healthy, and Sean McVay didn't want him necessarily to be the starting quarterback in the playoff game. Do I remember that right?
Well, it was against Seattle. Healthy might not be the right word. But it was curious decision making, and leading up to the game, it was like, is Jared Goff hurt or not? You couldn't really tell, and it did feel like McVay felt like their best chance of winning the game was without Jared Goff. And you know what happened? They did. Jalen, I love the Drew League. When we were at Grantland, I spent every Saturday and or Sunday driving down to the Drew League, watching the Drew League, not just the big games that have Kevin Durant in them, but like all the games. And there is a chance that Lonzo, LiAngelo, and LaMelo will all play on one team in the Drew League.
Off-season Jalen will be here at the earliest, at the latest, July 23rd. And off the top of my head, any great fights that happen, I'm there. Any great MMA matches, I'm there. WWE, I just interviewed Titus for the Renaissance Man podcast. I'm there. Drew League, I'm there. Go see Shohei Ohtani, I'm there. And by the way, you already know I'm a member of the Ball family.
Yep,
you already know I got adopted years ago. Years ago. So it's only right that their fourth brother is at the game to support them at the Drew. And you know what else I like about being a fan of the game? Here's the difference, everybody. This is podcast exclusive. I have a professional distinction that I make sure that I follow. When the company pays for my hotel and or my plane ticket, I act as professional A+ and accordingly as possible. But when I'm on my time and my dime, and I get to do what I want and say what I want, oh man, it's gonna be on this off season. It's gonna be on this off season. And so you and I at the Drew League, all I have to say is this. I might just take off my shirt. That's what I'm on. I'm on that this year, dog. I might just do a J.R. Smith tour. And I don't care if I'm in shape, out of shape. I don't care if it's a bad drinking day and my stomach swole. I don't care if I've been doing 150,000 crunches and I got a six pack. I just feel like I want my toes out and my shirt off. That's all I know.
One thing I love about going to Dykeman or Rucker, the Drew, and watching the professionals play is, you know this from playing in the league, but like I watch them play basketball all year long. the brand of basketball that they play in a Drew League environment is completely different than what they play in the NBA. Like, all the tricks and all the fun comes out. Like, we always look at, like, street ballers. We're like, wow, these street ballers are such talented with the ball. And look at what they do, this and that. You don't see that in the NBA. But when NBA players get to the Drew, all of it, all the sauce. Like, DeMar DeRozan, like Kevin Durant, when he was at the Drew, I was in the building. Like, you think Kevin Durant crosses people in the NBA? Like, that is nothing like what he does at the Drew. Like, triple cross. Like, he's going behind the back, trying to put it between people's legs. Like, I love that brand of basketball because unnecessary, fancy moves on the basketball court is what I am
all about. And if you're going to talk about fancy moves and you're going to talk about street ball and you're going to talk about NBA players, I'm going to interject the name of a guy that was never an NBA All-Star that's at the top of my list is street ball for NBA players. Jamal Crawford. Let me tell y'all something. Like, shout to the and-one player, Skip to my Lou, Hot Sauce, all of the OGs, all of the legends, right? Trust me, Jamal Crawford got those tricks too.
Google right now. Just Google Seattle Pro-Am Jamal Crawford. That's all you got to Google. Seattle Pro-Am Jamal Crawford. And you will see highlights that you've never seen before. You'll see things you've never seen before with the basketball.
I got to get him on the show. You know what? Since you love street ball so much and we're ending the NBA season and we're talking about the Drew League and all of that stuff, you know what? I'm going to have to hit him up. I got to get Jamal on the show.
Well, Jay, since you're on a world tour in the offseason, you've already committed to going to a Big Three game, two UFC fights, boxing matches, Drew League, Shohei Ohtani, go and follow him like hippies follow the Grateful Dead. I want you to come to Dykeman this summer.
Done.
They've got full fans, I hear, at Dykeman. And the environment, like a night game at Dykeman. Like, and here's the thing. Let me tell you something. They don't have NBA players in their game. You know, it's not like Rucker where they used to like bring out players like when Fat Joe would get in a phone and have everybody come through. You won't know a single name on the floor, but you're gonna get great environment, amazing basketball, and you'd be like, how come these dudes aren't in the league? we should send a scout down here. Like, they should at least get a tryout.
You know what? I'm definitely gonna join you at Dykeman. Looking forward to it. Also, as I hit an E40 type West Coast beat, shout to Reg the Ledge, I just interviewed the OG for the Renaissance Man podcast, right? And you know what he reminded me of? That week one of the NFL season, his 49ers played my Detroit Lions. You know that? And I'm going to be at the game for show in the Bay, because you know we cousins. So I'm asking you, because I know you got to put in time and scheduling with the wife and your 500 kids. Like, that'd be a great time for us to go to the Drew League one day and then go to the football game.
All right. So
couple of nights on the West Coast.
You made the distinction how you behave when the company pays for the hotel and the flights, how you behave when you pay for a hotel and the flights. But there's a third category. How do you behave when Jalen pays for your hotel and your flights?
You can do whatever you like.
I ain't even going to ask you. I'm going to hit up Michelle, your assistant, and Michelle's going to hit you and be like, Jacoby just sent me an email asking me to book him a flight first class to Los Angeles and then another first class flight. He asked for a suite in the Four Seasons. And for some reason, he wants an adjoining room, too, just for himself.
I'll
be there. Under those circumstances, I'll be there. I'm going to tell my wife the date right now. Another important date to mention is the 22nd and 23rd of August. What is happening on my favorite weekend of the year?
The Jalen Rose Leadership Academy golf outing is happening. Shout to Platinum Equity Pistons owner Tom Gores and his wife Holly. As much as I appreciate the score of the game and I'm happy my Pistons got the number one overall pick and Cade Cunningham is going to be a terrific talent, I'm extremely impressed of their community involvement and how they continue to do the charity to give back to the hood. So go to JRLADetroit.com. Always remember, JRLA, we're a nonprofit, open enrollment, tuition free, public charter high school. So everything we write, everything we raise goes strictly towards enriching young people between ninth grade and when they complete secondary education. That's college or university, community college, military, law enforcement, whatever they decide to do. That's why we call it a 9-16 model. I appreciate your support, David Jacoby. I appreciate you saving me on Family Feud, because I would not have been able to go back to the school and I did a answer like, hey, Jalen, what goes after Saturday night? And I said, party.
Party.
And I would have cost us $25,000.
I think you passed on the first one, too. Like, they asked you the first one, you're just like, pass. It's like, no, pass, no, no. Just say a word. Say a word.
So if you ever look over Jacoby's shoulder, there's a picture of him like Larry Bird holding up the number one sign with me in the background like Dwayne Wade after he threw the lob to LeBron in Milwaukee. Because I needed you then, dog.
I got you then, dog.
So I appreciate you then, and I appreciate you supporting JRLA since day one. And everybody say, who's donated,
anybody who's on the fence about whether or not you're going to attend the golf outing, let me just say, it is my favorite weekend of the year. Like, I love to golf, right? So I love to be out there for those 4 hours, you know, chopping it up with people and having fun. But, like, it is the party the night before. It is the actual time that you're at the golf. There's legends walking around. Like, sometimes I'm like, is that Spencer Haywood right there? Like, it's just like, there's absolute legends walking around, and there's a cocktail. Like, before, you have a little breakfast with the bagels. Afterwards, you have a little cocktail party. It's like a nice sunny day always, so I like to do like a bourbon and lemonade.
Ooh.
The group that I played with one year was like, I don't do Autumn Palmers. I do like bourbon, iced tea, and lemonade. It got me stuck on those. I don't drink them on any other day of the year except for the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy golf outing day.
I literally, I cannot make this up, because he has not been to the event yet. Got a text from Megatron, Calvin Johnson. He will be at the golf outing this year.
One important question to have for you before we wrap. How do you save him in your phone? Is it Calvin Johnson or is it Megatron?
Megatron, dog.
That's what I figured. I knew it.
I'm a Lions fan. That's Megatron. I don't even know his government name.
Go to JRLADetroit.com for more details. We shout to Ice Cube for coming through. Support the Big Three. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We are not done.